아니 난디 电影把绿道把这边约吧，马东，刚才写的，俺写的，刚才马东把让我们主办需要马的也是，现在俺做了那晚那些需要马的也是，等到宁波的那个做主持呢，就算刚才写的，彭博我不刚说了，马东让我们主办这个东北的也是。Good morning.
Last night we looked at the by looking at the illustration of a rosary and afterwards at a car, we saw how a phenomenon exists in reality, in that there is no phenomenon that exists by its own essence or from its own side, rather an independence on an aggregation of parts. Then mind can label rosary or car onto that aggregation of parts. This is the only way that a rosary or a car exists. It does not exist from its own side. Rather, there's an aggregation of many parts, and in dependence on that aggregation of parts, there is independence then and imputation by mind onto that aggregation of parts. So therefore, the only way phenomena exist is dependently, not independently. And whilst the illustration was of a rosary and thereafter of a car, this applies equally to the self. The self only exists as an imputation by mind onto its basis of imputation, which is the aggregation of the aggregates. So therefore, the self too, like a car and like a rosary, only exists dependently, not independently or truly. Continuing with where we left last night. Further, if the individual beads are sought as above, that is, as one with their individual parts, or different from their individual parts, and so forth, they are unfindable as well. This is just a summation of what one looks at last night. Instead of rather having the looking for the whole, the rosary, if one were to look at each part and take that part as the whole, one would not be able to find it amongst its own parts either. The individual beads are if the individual beads are sought as above, that is, as one with their individual parts. So last night, the whole was the rosary, but now, and its parts were the individual beads. Now if we take one of the beads and make that, or one of the parts, one of the beads, and make that the whole, it too has parts. And if one searches within the parts of that individual bead, then one will be unable to find the whole or find the bead itself.
So that the number The Meva Revesne, Chango de Chidan, Chango de Yore, Yomaresne, Chango de Yobares, Meva Mares. In Adako Tools and a Ganis Tuchi, Shimjuji, Tash and Chin, Zay Yodu, and Yame, Yame, Pachagores. Just not that inigi, and Chango de Ganis Yores do, Dakara Yores and Chawasi, Rangi Cheshe, Mombo Tiller, Toba, Teller, Dinne Palu, Tabats and Yoba, Lutan Yobares. Mado, Cheshe la Modioba, Rangi Cheshe la Modioba. Rangi Cheshire Dun Yore Labne, the Yuan de Niro, Ranga Cheshire Madun Yubachina, Rangi Cheshire Dun Yuachi Ningurwa, Nib Rangi Cheshire Maduba Yubachiche, Rangi Cheshire Dun Yubache, Rangi Cheshire Dun Yuba, Dambo de Madun Yuba. Cesada Din Yuan Yinan de Canis Yore Labna Chamadi, Dambo de Yomare, Ranga Cheshire Madun Yuba de Mares. Cesada
This point that's just been read, it's a summation. What it serves to do is to point out that the process of investigation through the sevenfold reasoning can be applied, as we saw last night, to a variety of phenomena, but it can also be applied to their parts in the sense of when one transforms a part into then the whole that is investigated, and one comes to the same conclusion. So just staying with the illustration of the rosary, but again, it can be applied even if one was looking at an individual part and making that the whole. So the rosary, when it's not that after doing the sevenfold analysis that the rosary becomes non-existent, rather, when one investigates the rosary that appeared to mind, that cannot be found. That is what is non-existent. But it doesn't mean, therefore, that the rosary does not exist at all. So again, when one investigates through the sevenfold reasoning that we looked at above, one cannot find the object that appeared to mind, whether it was whatever whole that was, whether the rosary, the car, or an individual bead. The rosary that appeared to mind as being independent or truly existent, that cannot be found. But the rosary still does exist. And how does it exist? Again, as we saw through that reasoning, it exists dependently. Dependence on parts and dependence on imputation onto the aggregation of those parts. So therefore, the rosary does exist. The car does exist. Whatever the whole is, even an individual bead, it exists. But how? As an aggregation of its parts, so dependence on its parts, and as an aggregation of those parts onto which the label, rosary or car or bead, is imputed. So therefore, to summarize, there are two ways that it can be said that things exist. The one way is how they appear to our mind. But when we investigate to see if they exist in this way or not, they cannot be found. And therefore they do not exist in the way that they appear to our mind. But that does not mean that they are non-existent, the object is non-existent. It does exist, but independence on parts and independence on imputation or labeling or designation by mind onto the aggregation of those parts. That is how phenomena exist. How they don't exist is how they appear to mind as being independent. How they do exist is dependent. Returning to the text, furthermore, since forests, armies, continents, and countries are imputed to aggregations of many specific parts, when each is analyzed as to whether it is this or not that, it is entirely unfindable. Taking the forest then as the whole, a forest is comprised of many parts, and onto that aggregation of many parts, mind labels or imputes forest. A single tree is inappropriate to label forest. Even two or maybe three trees is inappropriate to label forest. One needs a number of parts to be aggregated, a sufficient number of parts to be aggregated to be suitable to be labeled forest. And if one were to look for forest within any of those individual parts, one would not find a forest. If one has a whole collection of trees, and we call this a forest, if one was to look at any of those individual trees, none of them are suitable to be labeled forest.
Dinajin mamis ma se de jibarwa de dinegi michiglia ma lag marwa jisa dinis ma la bi de bi mangbo chi ma mi mangbo chi cho ba se le tin den ba cho ba de le pa lue pa de le den ne lue pa de le ya ma se pa lue de go re jis pa da ba se da din dina cho ba de da jisa ma se de mangbo chi cho ba le du go du go ma do mangbo cho ba le ma de ba na ne re re de jin michig pa bi
Likewise, with an army. An army, we can readily recognize, just like a forest, is an aggregation of many parts. There's no single soldier, no matter how brave, who can claim, I am the army. In fact, no two, three, or even grouping of soldiers is necessarily a sufficient aggregation of parts to be labeled army. But when enough parts, enough soldiers are assembled, it is sufficient, then there are sufficient parts for army to be imputed by mind onto that aggregation. Likewise with countries and continents. So here we can understand, let's take for example, whether we look at something smaller like a town or larger like a city or a country. It too is comprised of many parts. One will not find a single building in a town and say, this building is the town. There has to be an aggregation of many parts. Or in a city, one can't look at a single road, or even a road and a house and say, this is the city. Many parts need to come together. Likewise with a country. A single district, a single province is not suitable to be labeled country. Many parts need to be assembled. And so therefore, a forest, an army, a country is all dependent on parts, as well as that aggregation of parts being labeled or imputed or designated by mind as forest, as army, as country.
ちょっとまんぱ
As previously, the reason these illustrations are given is because objects of sight are very easy to understand how the theory applies or the principle applies to them. So we can utilize this in our daily life with whatever we see. We'll see the forest or the bush. We won't maybe see many armies, but we will certainly see a town. And we can recognize that this what we are seeing as a town or as a forest is really an aggregation of parts, therefore it is dependent. Secondly, it requires imputation by mind, therefore it is dependent. So these illustrations we are utilized because they're so easy to understand. If I say to you, recall your hometown, when all of you will think of wherever you consider your hometown, this will appear to mind. And it appears to mind as a whole, as one, a single. But now, in dependence on what one has just heard, one can immediately understand that actually, whilst one's hometown appears as a whole or as a something single or one, actually, it's dependent on many parts. And not only is it dependent on parts, it's dependent on imputation by mind or labeling by mind onto that aggregation of parts. There's a further element to also take into account. So if we think of the previous illustration of an army. So an army, we saw, is dependent on many parts and imputation by mind. Those parts, though, need to be specific parts, suitable parts. And only if those parts are suitable to comprise the whole of an army, then it's only suitable for mind to impute the label army onto that aggregation of parts. The parts need to be suitable or appropriate. Why is that? Because the army needs to function as an army. Any aggregation of parts is not suitable to be labeled as an army. Why? It cannot function as an army. Similarly, with the illustrations we looked at last night, that of a rosary and a car, not only are these dependent on parts and dependent on imputation by mind onto that aggregation of parts, but those parts need to be specific, they need to be suitable to be labeled as a car. So for example, if any of the crucial parts are missing, the car will not be able to function as a car. And it would therefore not be suitable to be labeled a car. Perhaps it would need to be called a broken car. For example, if the tires were flat or there was no petrol, the car would not be able to function. So therefore, for a car to be able to function, it requires parts. If the car was absent of parts, it would not function.
And ဖုံဖုံကပေါ်ကံရုလက်တင်းနေလွေဖာတော့ပါစင်ရောရဲစဒီတဲ့ဇာဝချီကိုငါကြီးငါတို့ကြောက်ကားစားကြီးဇာဝချီကိုရဲစဒီရှိရတဲ့တွန်တန်းဒီကြီးစမ်းတန်းတဲ့ဒီနေဖုံဖို့စဲဒီငါစဲဒီဖုံဖို့လာမတွေ့ပါတွေ့နေလွေရှားပါမရင်ပေးကြတာငါစဲတဲ့ဇာဝချီနေမင်းတို့ဆက်ပြဆမ်းလို့ဒီလေထူကိုရဲချက်လေ
The explanation on utilizing illustrations that are easy to understand and your reflection on them, then you can utilize, through utilizing your intelligence, you can apply it to subtler objects, such as the self. We come to, when we ask ourselves, how does the self actually exist? Well, in dependence on what we've heard here and your prior reflections, one recognizes that it's dependence on parts, namely the aggregates, as well as dependence on imputation by mind, onto the aggregation of those parts, onto the aggregation of the aggregates. So therefore, the self cannot exist independently, despite appearing so. It appears as an independent whole, not dependence on parts. But actually, when you think about it, very clearly, it requires labeling. And labeling not just onto anything, but onto a collection of parts, appropriate parts. So therefore, it does not exist in the way that it appears. It does exist, but as an imputation by mind, onto an aggregation of parts. So therefore, independence on one's prior meditations, dependence on what one heard last night and this morning thus far, one can come to recognize that even subtler objects that appear to mind, such as the self, do not exist in the way that they appear. But rather, whilst they do exist, they do not exist in the way they appear, they exist rather dependently. So by recalling this again and again to both coarser and especially subtler objects, it becomes much easier to realize emptiness. By reminding yourself repeatedly in meditation and out of meditation that what appears to mind is a dependence arising, and not just that as a mere statement, but recall the reasons, whether it's causes, parts, or imputation by mind. Doing this again and again and again, one becomes ever more familiar with the presentation of dependence arising. It starts to become second nature that one is recognizing that the objects of thought are dependent arisings, whether dependent on causes or parts or imputation by mind. And the great benefit that comes with this is that implicitly one recognizes that because they are dependent arisings, they cannot be independent. Because they are dependent arisings, they cannot be independent.
Tizana zu tüyene jubdan ge samdana tüyba yinbe ge 对上说，上当他如果接不起他了呀，这个那说用过了话的，就像接不起他，他不能忙过有了话的，今天人家满足给开心些吧，你如果这些三分聚在建立或者聚了点的结果嘞，聚了点的结果嘞，是聚了点的结果嘞，是聚了点的些。他在这样子毛着，他成话是这边聚了嘛些吧些，他可能给聚了点过的呢，聚了点吧，结果里边是你妈的，可吃些来点过嘞，这种可吃些忙不来点过嘞。
对面的毛扎给加拿大毛扎的给做过的给过毛扎的全部的毛扎吃些的鱼嘛，是吧？可以，就像恰当吃些些。就像那军队的队伍给军队现在可能队伍都是被什么当上去些，那军队的什么当呢？恰当吃些的团呢，这对上可能队伍都是被接不起他去些，现在都是呢，可队伍给什么当上，日本马上呢，日本都忙忙不着些，忙都送过了吧。
Thus far, over the course of this, these teachings on this text, there have been many methods presented to investigate reality, to recognize how phenomena appear, and then to investigate whether they exist in the way they appear or not. So this has been done for a specific reason, not just to fill out the pages of a book, but to give us greater ammunition for our intelligence. If our lines of reasoning are very limited, the depth of our understanding will be limited. But thus far, the text has presented many different ways that we can analyze to come to recognize how phenomena exist in reality. So for example, previously, the illustration was used of a seed sprouting into a plant. So there we looked at dependent arising, and the focus was on causality. Here we looked at a car, and here the focus has been dependency on parts. And certainly both of them, one can utilize both forms of reasoning and should do so. The text, again, is serving the purpose to present slowly and hopefully clearly different styles of analysis to utilize. And all of these should be utilized so as to aid our development and use of our human intelligence. Sorry, because again, the deeper our analysis, the deeper our understanding, the deeper the transformation. As I've just mentioned, we've looked at in some detail previously on dependence on causes and conditions. Now we've looked at dependence on parts and dependence on imputation. Now the text brings us to a new part where we look at mutual dependence. So turning to the text on page 13. Moreover, it is extremely clear that good and bad, tall and short, big and small, enemy and friend, father and son and so forth, are only designated in dependence upon each other. So these now are illustrations of mutual dependency.
Sangbo
Whichever of these one looks at, the process is similar. So take the first one, good and bad. When one investigates the object, good, one does so not through looking at whether it is dependent on causes or dependent on parts, but rather on mutual dependency, in that good can only come to mind in dependence on there being bad. For similarly, with tall and short. For something to be tall, it can only be labeled as tall in dependence on there being something shorter than it. And so too with enemy and friend. So there can only be, an object can only be labeled as an enemy independent on there being an object that is suitable to be labeled as friend. So the form of analysis that is being utilized here to see how the object exists in reality is not what we've been looking at before. It's still in general dependence arising, but it's not dependence on cause, looking at utilizing dependency on causes or dependency on parts, but rather the technique of mutual dependency, where only in dependence on there being something taller and something shorter can one label one as tall and the other as short. So there is a mutual dependency between two objects, and thereby one can be labeled as good or bad, tall or short, big and small.
Din di chala de yakpo rewe, yakpo mare seya chi xebe ne, di yakpo re seya la yama, mare seya la yama rwa de. Karasana ko chikma du me rwa, chikran chikma du me rwa. Chisana da, yakpo chik yoba ina, di le yaga chiyoba ina, di yakpo mare seya chi xeya chi rwa. Chisana, ko sangpo da ngayba seya de, sangpo de me na, chisana sangpo khurang zawa gini me pa ina, ngayba seya de yon yama rwa. Chisana, Sangbo dele due jine ko ngan ba se da gyurwa, ko kaisen dele ko gyuwa yinza ngan ba da gyurwa. Chisa da, dine zan, dina xin, da rinbu di xingdong lo ma sun, xingdong rinbu chik da, xingdong chik di tungwa re se di, rinbu dele due jine, tse jeb due, di ma tungwa yu za, jige, chanyan ba jile gyuwa ma rwa, me wa za, di tungwa re se da gyurwa. Chisa da, tungwa dele due jine, xingdong chik di le, Rinpo re se tagyo ma to, tunga de me ne, shingro jikra jik ma to me ne, rinpo se de, tungtung se de, gyune ha mogo wa ne, tung ma nyong chi, gyune ne, di rinpo re we, tungtung re la ne, a gang xia hu ma se la gyro wa de.
If there is something that is entirely unique in the world, one will not be able to say that it's good or bad. Because we can't, for example, compare it to something perhaps of the same type, but is, let's say, less useful or not as good quality. But things of, but if we were to talk about it as being good or bad, it could only be in relation to something else. There is a mutual dependency, therefore. And in general, if we are looking at something and it was only ever good or only ever useful, one could not talk about it as potentially being bad or not useful. Only in through comparing to something else, in other words, being mutually dependent with something else, can we talk about good or bad. And so too with short and tall. Because things are of varying heights, One can talk of some being tall and some being short. And if in a particular class, everything was the same height, one couldn't say these are taller or shorter, because they're all identical. There is no mutual dependency in terms of tall and short. Only in relating it to something else can one talk about tall and short. With the concept of friend or enemy, it's only independence on our considering someone a friend can we consider someone else an enemy. To express it differently, only independence on feeling closer to one person can we feel more distant from another. There's this relationship of mutual dependency between the two. As to with big and small, only independence on there being things of varying sizes, here big and small, can one talk about something being big and something else being small. There has to be a comparison for there to be something to be called big or small, or someone to be called a friend or an enemy. So therefore, these require dependency to exist. They are mutually dependent.
On the nation, Pa Pu Sony, Gila Gine, Gigla Dine, Gisha Dava Shindu says, it is a Padam Busiada, Madam Bomosiada, that is chicken on Jugi, and the Punja said, You're what is Chaza, Gigla Dine Pa Dava Simulese, Pasadi, go Mbula Dine, Dalgumado, call Bumena Palagumarwas. The Palagumina, Chesanko, Buji, call Dene, Gi, Buji, Yerba, and then Budela Dene, Uncle Ya Pass, the Palu, Mingi, Dagore, Echere. Chesan Busia, then Corona, Pai Yerba, and the Padela Dene, Colia, Bus in the Dagor was. Chesan Pamena, and the Dele Bus in the Dagma was. Chesan Deneza, Padan Busia, De, called Pala Dene, Chitele Bus in the Dagore. Budela Dene, Chiti Pass, the Dagores, Chesan, so pass the dinner, the mother, this Chasayunguru audience.
And so, too, with the final illustration that takes father and son, or mother and daughter, relative and non relative, these two are mutually dependent. Can only talk about a parent independent on a child. Similarly, a child independent parent. So there is a relationship between the two. And here, we're looking at this through the perspective of mutual dependency. One can only be considered a parent independent on a relationship with a child, and independence on their being a child. The text continues. Also, earth, water, fire, wind, and so on are each imputed in dependence upon their individual parts.
And in Namka said, Namka young chose a cabby chalet in the Tabaris, Namka said, and you got chose a cabby chalet in chalet in a dagger mother, chala maduba, Namka said, I am a message.
Space too is imputed independence upon its parts, which pervade the directions.
And this one to do sine and the Niki Chasan, do it in a tutorship, can you ask more? That in a then margin and Sangeda, Simchin, Kowada, Yantia, Soja, Rangi, Chasheta, Dashila, Dine, Dazam, Shadayins.
Also, Buddhas and sentient beings, samsara, nirvana, and so forth, are simply merely imputed in dependence upon their parts and their basis of imputation. Let's talk a little further then about Buddhas and sentient beings. So there's a relationship of mutual dependency between Buddhas and sentient beings. So a Buddha is a being that has eradicated completely the afflictions together with their seeds and their stains. Sentient beings are beings who have not eradicated completely the afflictions together with their seeds and stains. So one can only talk about Buddhas independent on talking about sentient beings. One can only talk about sentient beings in relation to Buddhas in the sense that if all beings were afflicted, one would not talk about Buddhas. If all beings were had completely eradicated the afflictions and the stains, one would not talk about sentient beings. So therefore, there is a relationship of mutual dependency between these two. But if we look at it from another perspective, we can also talk about a dependency on causes and conditions, of course, in that a Buddha only became a Buddha in dependence on the accumulation of particular causes. And those causes serve the function of eradicating the afflictions together with their seeds and the stains of the afflictions. So in dependence on that accumulation of causes, a Buddha arose. So therefore, a Buddha is dependent on causes, but Buddha and sentient beings have a relationship of mutual dependency.
哦，你那些的，可话些的，娘的说讲，让人给吃的，大些了点的，大什么些大些，实际上可话些的，可话些的啊，那让给吃些的，大些了点的，大把什么多，点的大把买一把就要买来些的，实际上可话些的，俺就大些个，可话些个，带回来是那样子，连的牛毛往给就喷薄的，可话些明大是大些的，连的牛毛就喷薄的个，蓬勃的也得大些的，得了点，得了点，得了要靠瓦斯怕，略带给我来些，靠瓦斯带给我来些。现在他这把些的呢，两个来带吧，来就牛毛把沙发拿接吧，帮菜皮给锅垫，锅垫的，得了呀，俺锅垫得了呀，得了呀，他这把些没带给我来，实际上大些的是要多些的，大些带给我来些。
When there is a relationship of mutual dependency too between samsara and nirvana, because through talking about the one, the other is called to mind. So there's this relationship of mutual dependency too. But also, we can recognize that samsara is dependent on labeling or imputation by mind onto an aggregation of parts. So therefore, samsara is also dependent on parts. And what are those parts? Well, they are the aggregates that have been acquired due to contaminated karma and afflictions. And then, those parts are suitable to be labeled by mind as samsara. Similarly with nirvana. Nirvana is the true cessation that is a state freed from contaminated karma and the afflictions. And that is suitable to be labeled by mind as nirvana.
那等到了的时候，银行这个车上电梯给那么些机器来锻炼主吧，锻炼怕乱下坏银把的，可能中国人些的，但锻炼主不上的去，俺都现在天天住不住，现在新区街上的送过了吧，去电梯给那么些，实际上俺这个东半夜多一个，他不那么的，这个电梯给那么些什么大呀的些，他的送过了吧，今天在电梯给那么些什么当把了，电梯给那么些也不好过的，俺接了。 第一，我们先进来，东北人那么些大户的，过来是，就像今天在电梯给那么些什么当然的了，旧了电的，这部的旧了电的，电脑的旧了电的，电脑什么的，几个当然，几些，让给拆卸了锻炼，就他什么大呀，但让给拆卸了，让这喷水，几了锻炼，锻炼出汤，都是那什么当然的，肯定是因为那样，就先进了锻炼，如果我们都先进了锻炼，怕乱怕大吧，大呢，用过了嘛的，先进了。
The purpose then of what we've just looked at here is to combine it with what we've been looking at previously, not just this weekend, but throughout this text, in that the text is presenting further ways to utilize the presentation on dependent arising. So that we can investigate every object of thought to see that despite appearing as independent, it is dependent. And we can utilize these various techniques to see how each object of thought is dependent in at least one of these ways, if not several. And so by investigating each and every object of thought, first seeing how it appears as independent, and then going through the varying different forms of dependency and seeing that at least one, if not several, apply to that particular object of thought, we come to recognize that despite appearing as independent, it is actually dependent. And we can utilize in our analysis, the techniques of dependent arising, seeing whether the object that we are investigating is dependent on causes, whether it's dependent on parts, whether it's mutually dependent or whether it's dependence on imputation by mind. So we have these four different ways that we can investigate to see whether an object exists in the way that it appears as independent, and we'll recognize it does not. It is dependent in at least one, if not several, of these different ways. So I encourage you to engage in this meditation repeatedly and to utilize this the understanding you gain in the classes and the meditation based on the classes in your daily life. Because the purpose of these, of presenting these different ways to reflect through the presentation of dependent arising on objects which are easy to understand is so that you can gain familiarity and skill in seeing how objects such as a rosary, a car, aggregations such as a forest or a country, these are all dependent arisings. So too are concepts such as good and bad, tall and short. So too are the subtler particles. So the text talks about earth, water, fire, etc. One can think of the particles presented by science, as well as other philosophical concepts, views, such as samsara and nirvana. But then one can also take the views from society, such as nationalism, racism, sexism, various economic views. All of these are objects of thought. All of these appear as being independent. So investigate them through dependent arising and see if they exist independently as they appear or dependently. And to see whether they exist independently or dependently, check if they come about in dependence on causes, parts, mutual dependency, or imputation. And you'll see they all come about in dependence on at least one of those four. Then as you gain ever greater skill of this, in particular in meditation, in between sessions, apply it to what appears to mind. Because so many of our thoughts are dominated by the thought of, or the concept of, self and other. So many of our thoughts have ourselves as center, and self is mutually, the thought of myself is mutually dependent on there being something other than myself. And we divide ourself from others, separate ourselves from others, see ourselves as different from others. So this term different, separate, or separate, sorry, different or separate, He has the same word. So we separate ourselves from others, seeing ourselves as different from others. And we relate to others then, as in they can potentially harm this self we cherish so, or benefit the self that we cherish so. So this is how we interact in society. It's how other members of society interact with each other. And it's from this all problems in society come, whether within families, within a household, whether between groups within society or between nations. This differentiation between the cherished self and the other. So this meditation, then in brief, this meditation on dependence arising can and should be applied to every object of thought. The ones presented in the text are those that are easy to understand so that we can gain skill in this meditation, but then we need to apply it to the subtler objects, those that cause such harm, in particular self and other, and then its varying expressions in society, where we divide ourselves along lines of nationalism or racism or sexism, where we value, we cherish one group over another.
This mental construct of self and other, a little further, if we think about it, all of us identify ourselves as self. We all identify ourselves as self. And we identify everyone in this room as other. Everyone in this world and across realms as other. So this shows there's a relationship of mutual dependency. But moreover, if we think about it, our self appears to us as being truly existent, as being independent. But how can then I be an independent self and everyone else be that independent other, when to their consciousnesses, each individual appears as a self, as an independent self, and everyone else, including me, as the independent other? How can I be an independent self and an independent other? That is bananas. So thinking like that, it becomes very clear that the self, as we've seen in many meditations, is merely imputed by mind onto its basis of labeling the self, the aggregates. And this is the case for every individual too. To their mind, they appear as an independent self, but they only exist independent on labeling by mind or imputation by mind onto the basis of the accumulation or the aggregation of the aggregates. So therefore, there really is no difference between self and other. Self and other actually is a construct. Sorry, there's no difference between ourselves and others in that we relate to ourselves as constructs. Self and other is a construct. It is logically impossible for a person to be both independent self and independent other. But all of you perceive each and every other person as an independent other and yourself as an independent self. No one can be both an independent self and an independent other. So when we think like this, the differences between these differences that we grasp at so vanish. And we come to recognize that all beings are really on a fundamental level no different. Mind imputes self onto a basis of an aggregation of aggregates. That's all. All forms of superior and inferior, different or othering, vanish. And this, when we think like this, the self-cherishing mind or the self-grasping mind has to weaken. The self that we cherish so, others that we either cherish or we repel, this will weaken. We'll see it as a deceit, as deceiving ourselves. We can let this go, relax this grasping mind. And to summarize what we've just looked at then, the concept of self and other, we can see there's a dependency here. There's no independent self and independent other, because there can only be an other independence on self and a self independence on other. So there's a relationship of mutual dependency. And when we investigate any individual, ourself or those other than ourselves, we see all are the same in being. the self being dependent on a variety of causes, parts, mutual dependency and imputation by mind. And then, moreover, all of us are born from parents. And all of us have only been able to become an adult due to many causes, the dependency on many causes. And a primary cause is the kindness of our parents. It is only in dependence on the kindness of our parents were we actually born, and in dependence on the care of our parents could we grow and survive. And not only in those very early years when we were so vulnerable, but in terms of their doing their best to ensure that we developed skills and qualities that they valued, were we sent to school, made to go to school, engaged in other various activities they thought would benefit us, and so forth. So we can recognize that for us to grow up was dependent on so many causes. Many of the essential causes were accomplished independent on the kindness of our parents. So therefore we can use this understanding of dependency that we're utilizing also to generate a deep and sincere appreciation for the kindness of parents. And can utilize the understanding we developing in terms of our understanding of dependent arising to appreciate the tremendous kindness of our parents and parents in general. And then apply that same reasoning to those who are not our parents, so to society in general. And here by now, one's understanding of dependency will be subtle enough that one will go far beyond the readily observable. Education is of utmost importance, and that we are educated sufficiently to be able to understand these teachings is dependent on the kindness of so many people. Our parents who sent us to school, who maybe insisted on our going to school, as well as our teachers who taught us to read and write, who encouraged us to think and to analyze and so forth, as well as those many people who were involved with the construction of our school so that we were able to be educated in a suitable environment, not sitting outdoors under a tree. So we had these many people who built, the miners who derived the materials that were required that the builders required, the skilled architects and engineers who designed our building, But also further, society in general who paid their taxes, and society in general who elected government officials who could commission the school to be built that we were later educated in, and that they could commission it, was in dependence on tax being paid. And here we see the tremendous kindness of society in general, and that that society who were involved with the building just of our one school, perhaps were linked to lands beyond this one, in terms of mining and so forth. And similarly, if we think of the food we eat, so the agricultural industry has so many parts, and so many causes that come together. And here we can go further than just thinking about the farmer and the shopkeeper, and recall that those laborers toiling in heat and cold, picking our food. So here the term kindness we can also understand in terms of benefit, because they weren't necessarily thinking of feeding ourselves as individuals, but we do benefit from them, from their labor. And likewise, with those who pack the goods, those who drive the trucks, the admin staff who order the food and process all the varying components or the varying parts that enable a shop to function, as well as the staff in the shop. It's through their activities we achieve benefit. And this way we can understand kindness. But going deeper, at every level of that production, science and engineering has been utilized. So these were people who either directly were developing packaging or machinery, or indirectly were discovering elements and how those elements could be utilized to create packaging or machinery. So directly and indirectly, across the entire world, and not just those currently living or the generation immediately before, but in dependence on centuries of development, are we able to access our meal? So when you think about this, we can come to recognize the fine web of independency across the world and across time, and recognize the tremendous benefit that others' endeavors bring to us. And in this way, we can develop a deep and close affinity and appreciation for all beings. There are many purposes to engaging in this meditation, but they all come together to remind us that every object of thought, everything we think about, appears as if it is independent. But nothing exists independently. Everything is dependent. Dependent whether on causes, parts, imputation, or mutual dependency. Everything is independent. And at the heart of our thoughts is a sense of self and I. And this self that is at the heart of every thought, the source of the sequence of thoughts that lead to I want, I don't want, I like, I dislike. This self too, despite in every moment appearing as being independent, it doesn't exist in this way. Oh, sorry. So, despite in every moment appearing as independent, it doesn't exist in this way. It is rather dependent.
A little bit better than he said. He said the other way around, that's all.
Okay. So, in every moment, our self, which is at the heart of the sequence, appears as being independent of others. Yeah, independent of causes.
Independent.
It appears as independent, whereas it exists dependently, just like every other object of thought. So the meaning here is the explicit or the main object that one is thinking of or seeing or hearing appears as being independent, and behind that, the root cause of all our thoughts, self-cherishing or the self-grasping, that self too appears as independent. So we have the self and whatever else one is thinking of appearing as independent. Recognizing this, we need to apply this continuously, because this is how every single thought appears. And so therefore, to counteract this, we need to keep reminding ourselves whatever we are manifestly thinking about, as well as the underwriting thought of self. None of these exist independently. Nothing exists in the way that it appears, but rather is a dependent arising. And by reminding ourselves of this continuously, we'll start to counteract our continuous belief that phenomena exist in the way that they appear. First intellectually, and eventually this intellectual rejection of appearance will start to become more innate. But as we go through this appearance of the sequence of recognizing that the way phenomena appear is not how they exist in reality, as we go through this long process of becoming ever more familiar with this way of thinking, we will start to act or to relate to our world and ourself more in accordance with reality. We've looked at the presentation on dependence arising in some detail, both this weekend thus far, as well as in previous classes. So what you have been presented with is meditative techniques, or techniques to apply in meditation to how phenomena appear, to see if this is how they exist or not. And I've just spoken now about how one can apply it to the widest variety of phenomena, both what we perceive through our senses, as well as our objects of thought, and then the thought process, as well as then the underwriting motivation of the self. And seeing whatever appears to mind, appears as being independent, but when we investigate, we recognize that it is dependent. And this then serves to break down our grasping at phenomena as existing by way of their own nature. And likewise, when we go deeper, we break down this differentiation we make between self and other, because self and other will no longer seem so real. And this will serve to break down this feeling of separation, of apartness, of difference between ourselves and others. And this is an essential requirement for the development of love and compassion. Because if you think of your possessions, there'll be some that you value more than others. Whatever one values, one will take greater care of. One will appreciate it's that you have it more than something that you do not value. Something you don't value, you don't really appreciate that you have it. If you were to lose it, it wouldn't matter. If it were to break, it wouldn't matter. So through reflecting well on dependence arising, we will break down this differentiation between self and other, and we will break down any basis, or we'll eliminate any basis that leads to us differentiating between self and other, and in particular looking down on others, separating ourselves from others, seeing others as being less worthy, less of less value. And rather, as we break that down, we will be able to, as in the meditation just presented about first about parents and then about our interaction with society as a whole through education and agriculture, we will be able to develop a sense of closeness to others, realizing our deep interconnected relationship with others. And this serves for us to appreciate and value others, not just those whose kindness we can directly perceive. And we can appreciate, therefore, the value and the kindness of others who are not perceptible by ourselves now, perceivable by ourselves now, or who have lived in other countries or many years ago. Valuing others will help us to develop a sense of closeness towards others, an affinity towards all others, without exception. And in this way, we start to develop an equanimous relationship with others, as well as an appreciation of their kindness. This then enables the arisal of the next of the six causes, a wish to repay that kindness. And this then will start to have an impact on a deep impact on our way of thinking. Appreciating others, valuing others, we will want to repay their kindness, which means we'll have a kind attitude, a gentle attitude towards others, because we value them. This then enables a variety of virtuous minds in relation to others to arise within us. And that will serve as our motivation to engage in virtuous activities. Guarding our ethics, being generous, being patient will be easy for us because we value others. They will no longer seem an actual stranger to us. Rather, even this person that we may not know explicitly in this life, we will value them, we will care for them, we will want them to be happy, we will want them to be freed of suffering, and therefore we will interact with them with a virtuous motivation, and therefore be ethical, be generous, be patient, and so forth. And this then will serve to strengthen our motivation to have an ever greater beneficial impact on others, and we'll develop that ever further where it becomes a determination to become the most skilled of guides to lead others to achieve their own liberation from suffering. And this will lead us then to develop a determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others. So in this way, I hope that it's clear that the reflection on dependent arising serves both to develop our wisdom as well as our love and compassion. Because through understanding reality and in acting in the world or engaging in the world with its understanding of reality, not only does our wisdom side grow, but so too does our love and compassion in dependence on our prior appreciation and valuing of all others. So through the reflection on dependence arising, you've been given now many different ways that one can think about dependent arising, dependency on causes, on parts, on mutual dependency and imputation by mind. So not only have you been given many different ways that one can think about dependent arising, but it's hopefully also been made clear that it can be applied against innumerable objects. Objects of our senses, either objects mere only of conceptual consciousness, and the whole sequence of the object, the consciousness relating to the object, and most importantly, the self. So all of these are differing objects that we can apply the varying techniques of dependent arising, or the various understandings of dependent arising against, coming to recognize that no object exists in the way that it appears, but is rather dependent and therefore empty of true existence. And no object is more important to reflect on than the self. And this is because it's through self-grasping that we create all the causes that keep us bound in samsara. Moreover, it's due to self-grasping, which we can perhaps express here as self-cherishing, that we differentiate ourselves from others, and due to the rise of our afflictions, we harm others. Rather, through the reflection on dependence arising and the breakdown of self, we will, through changing the object, also break down other. And in this way, we can start, through the reflection on dependence arising, changing how we relate to others. So the reflection on the self, through the technique of dependence arising, enables a new way of relating to others, and enables a genuine arisal of valuing of others and appreciation for others. And this is the fundamental, or the essential prerequisite to the generation of love and compassion for others. So we'll finish here then for this morning and continue from the same place this afternoon. And if you have some questions on what's been said, then please ask now. Tsepo?
So in the new page of notes, it says, nor do inherently existent paths depend on the rosary, which is true, but the way it was explained, it seemed, was more, the point was explained as being, that the paths don't inherently depend on the rosary. So I just want to check what's the point being made.
So in the, I'll express it a little differently, but the meaning should be the same. So if you compare the two translations that you have, the handout and the one in the book, if you look at point four, and you'll see there's a difference. So can we just look a little bit more then at that to understand which of these are right? Because the first one talks about, the book talks about inherently depend, whereas the second one talks about inherently existent parts.
But it's also talking about the paths depending, whereas the old book was, the rosary depending. I mean, I know it's... In the old one, it says...
the paths depend upon the rosary in the old one.
The rosary does not inherently depend on its paths. And in number four here...
When we're looking at number four in the book, says, nor do the paths inherently depend upon the rosary, which is... that should be the same. The parts depend upon, nor do the parts depend upon the rosary. If you take the word inherent out, they'll be the same. It's where the, what the inherent relates to seems to differ.
Are you talking about the old one?
I'll read both without the word inherent or inherent existence, right? So from the book, nor do the parts depend upon it, so upon the rosary, and then from the new one, nor do the parts depend upon the rosary.
Oh, you've got a different old book to me.
Oh, okay. Then it's a little bit more difficult. Okay, so then your question then is, let's stay with your question.
Well, let's stay with the new version.
Mm.
It was explained as the parts nor do the parts inherently depend on the rosary.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if that's the point
being made, and we should change this new page. Okay. So that genamba local ya the engine number as matum that because not so that genamba the more niki the chassis can draw ya then it then really chassis a more niki to a chassis a console at the dengue of it. You need the Dhammo Kintrel said, Tempate Moni Mare. Then I go to him. That's the Dhammo Kintrel said.
Chashe de ye, Chanwali, to Chashin to Su Dingo Rese, Dingo, Dingo, Marsin, Dingo Reserva. They did not again Dingi Resne, Duny Dingi Remato, Matu by Dingo Mareserva. Matu by Tempa in Namo y Tempa such a grace.
Chashe de Moin, Temba Mare, Ladu, Matio per Temba Mares. Yine deneyim açığa çıkıyor. Deneyim
Moniki tempa de kare. Moniki tempa la de ma tyo par tempa sur. Ma tyo par. Sian la ma tyo par che. Sian la ma tyo par te tingu na yue na da sian la ma tyo par chi yue ba na da ngoni tempa sur. Sian la ma tyo par chi yue ba na ngoni tempa cha she de changwa la yo ro wa. Yue ba de tyue jen ji le tyue ne yue ba re be ma tyo par yue ba re la de Shiyanla dwenye, chanwala dwenye yobare ma to, chanwala ma dwenye shiyo na da, ngon yi dwenpa se chakire es. Chisa ngon yi dwenpa mare la dwenye, chanwala ma dwenye yobare mare se gore dwenye. Dwenye, nga tsuzi dwenpa
So what was said last night was correct. So that how do we have it here? That the parts do depend upon the rosary. So that's clear. But how do the parts depend upon the rosary? Do they inherently depend, or do they not inherently depend upon the rosary? So that then will be the question. The answer is they do not inherently depend. So they do depend on the parts do depend on the rosary, but the parts do not inherently depend upon the rosary. So that's what was said last night, and that was correct. So then what is the meaning then of inherently depend? So if something inherently depended, it would mean the dependent couldn't function. It would be separate from the process of dependency would be separate from everything else, would be independent. So therefore it couldn't, maybe because it couldn't function, it couldn't produce anything. And therefore the dependency cannot be inherently existent either. So that would be the meaning. Yeah, so then that is an expansion of what was said last night. Okay, so the book isn't correct. What is said last night and now is correct. Okay. Cameron?
I think you said self-cherishing is self-deceiving at one point. Yes. So you're saying I haven't got the verbatim exactly right. You said it a bit fast, but is it just after you said it's bananas. thinking this way, the self-cherishing mind will weaken, and so self-cherishing is self-deceiving. Yeah. It seems like a circular reference. I find that point a little bit baffling. So you're saying, so I guess my question is, in relation to self-cherishing, what is the self that is being deceived? I don't know if that's a private. I don't know if that's a
No. The question makes some sense to me, so I can ask that. So, is the self-cherishing mind, does it deceive oneself?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
It seems like a circular reference.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really say a circular reference, but I can ask that question. Does the self-cherishing mind deceive the self?
Or alternatively, what is the self that is being deceived by self-cherishing?
Okay. What is the self that is being deceived by the self-cherishing? Okay?
Yeah. How does it exist? How does it exist? Yeah. Okay.
Then
rang-chen-sin, rāṅ sēdī ngā rā tu lē ngā sēsī kāndīsh nāngu rēs. Nā yudu kālāi mātā rāṅ wēnyu trūpāshī nāngu rūpā, Ndi, ndele ya, dene ki, kangla ya mato rang nguen tu drupi ki nawa nanshin chi, nga du sanpi ki chesin chi yorwa, tate ngan tu kaptu shiya de rang chesin tili shi gore, di rang chi, rang denpa zuba zibe tenzin, denpa zuba yu rang nguen tu drupi ki rang de nga si sha, ndele pa, jeba zin, chesin siya shi gore.
The self-cherishing mind deceives oneself in that the self-cherishing mind does not relate to its object, the self, as it exists in reality. So therefore, it's a wrong consciousness and therefore deceives oneself. So what is this, what is meant here by the self-cherishing mind? What's another way of expressing the ignorance of self-grasping? It's another way of expressing the ignorance of self-grasping. So we have the self, so then to express it in the usual way, the self appears as being independent. One grasps at it as existing in the way that it appears. So one here has grasping at a self. One then through analysis recognizes that the self does not exist in the way that it appears as independent. So therefore the consciousness that grasps at that self is a wrong consciousness and therefore is an ignorance. And therefore it's suitable to be called not just self-grasping, but the ignorance of self-grasping. So being an ignorance, a consciousness of ignorance, it deceives one's, it's deceptive about how it relates to the object, the self. So then if we substitute the self-cherishing mind for ignorance of self-grasping, then the self-cherishing mind deceives oneself in that it relates to the object, the self, in a way that it does not exist and is therefore a wrong consciousness. So what is meant by deceptive is that it's a wrong consciousness in that. And why is it a wrong consciousness? Because it relates to the object in a way that it does not exist. So therefore, when one acts under that influence, or even just acts not as in doing something, but believing that, you know, we're grasping at it, so you're believing it. Therefore, because you're believing in something that doesn't exist, you are deceiving yourself.
So there is a self there that's believing it.
It's a different consciousness. There is no self. There is no self and inherently existent self. But maybe to get this clear, we'll take some more time so we can continue with it this afternoon.